Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show that's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. You can get a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 15% off conveyancing until the end of September as well. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. With me, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
TSB Plus is available for you right now if you'd like to access every digital copy of the magazine that we've done since 2009. Get all these podcasts ad-free, priority access to the match ball after a game, including the video stream as well. You can watch us live if your heart desires. You get the extra ball as well, an extra podcast for you weekly, daily email with all the essential Leeds United news and discounts on the merchandise. Full details at thesquareball.net/plus. And straight into the news then, of what has been going on in the world of Leeds United. International break, of course, so it's been relatively quiet, but we've seen a number of internationals playing for us, one of which arrived on transfer deadline day, which we knew about when we spoke last week, but it's all been completed now. You excited about Dan James?
He's growing on me, I have to say. Seeing him play for Wales did make me a bit more optimistic, admittedly not against the best opposition, and I enjoyed his little celebration when Gareth Bale scored that winner. Did you see it? He was kind of unsighted for the goal and Bale hit a shot that was the keeper, and Dan James was initially had his head in his hands thinking it hadn't gone in, and then he had to run off celebrating afterwards, and I felt pleased for him. Whereas if he'd have done that a couple of weeks ago, I'd have thought, what a prick.
Still a bit weird. He's still wearing a red shirt, isn't he? So I can't really enjoy Dan James running around celebrating a goal in a red shirt. There's an adaptation process that he needs to go through. I know we saw the signing photos and so on, but I feel like, there's some work to be done, Daniel.
Did you see the comments that he did in the, I think it was a Telegraph interview during this international break, saying basically he started to second guess himself when he was over there, probably because he's managed terribly and he's at a god-awful club that's destroyed his confidence and he needs somebody who's going to coach him properly and tell him what to do. I think the last bit, I'm paraphrasing that, by the way.
And he will tell him. He will shout at him more or less non-stop. I think we've heard before that Bielsa isn't particularly an arm-around-the-shoulder kind of coach, is he? But I think the things that Dan James does naturally will please Bielsa, so maybe he'll be fine.
He's good at like pressing and running around and stuff. Seems to like that sort of thing. That's quite the technical term, I realise. I'm getting into some really in-depth stuff there.
Yes, running around is a very short version of what Bielsa gets them to do, but yeah, he does do that well. So yeah, he's growing on me, is the idea of Dan James.
You happy, Moscow? You welcoming him with open arms, or is he still a little scum bastard to you?
He hasn't done anything for us yet.
But I mean, has your position shifted from when you first signed him, where you thought, actually?
No, he hasn't done anything. He's just fucked off to Wales, hasn't he? So it makes no difference to me.
What about Helder Costa then, who's gone to Spain?
Well, that's a bit more of a sad to see him go, but happy to hear him speak. As soon as he left, starts giving interviews and people asking him questions, and I heard a lot more. I feel like I learnt more about Helder Costa in the 3 days after he went to Valencia than in the 3 years or 2 years that he was at Leeds, but I hope it works out for him.
You know, we were talking about like his role almost drifting through the background. I think that was last week we were saying this, and I've reflected on it. He's like one of those minor characters in a film where they've decided not to have any speaking lines because they can get away with paying him less. You know, so he's just sort of floating along there in the background. You notice him, but he's not really doing much.
Mm-hmm. We don't need to build a backstory for this character. He just is going to be there sometimes. Drinking in the background, maybe occasionally patting someone on the shoulder. I don't know, I feel bad for him in a way. But, I mean, I don't know why I feel bad for him. He's still getting paid. And now he lives in Valencia, which looks nice.
There was a bit of response by Wolves fans, wasn't there, saying that he was great initially when he went in there I think, which would have been there before they won the league in the championship. So it would have been the season before that when he first went in, and he absolutely ripped the place up and he looked unstoppable. And then he got injured, and since then he's never really been the same player.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote about his departure on our blog and looked at some of the stuff he'd done at Wolves, mainly the things he'd done off the pitch, where there's some video interviews with him and when they had Diego Jota there and Ruben Neves. He's really funny. He's a funny guy with a nice sense of humour, telling good jokes to them, and they're all like, it's one of those things where they say, like, who do you not want to sit next to on the team bus? And they're all joking, and they all start picking on the same player, and they say, one of the questions is, what's the greatest goal you've ever seen scored? And Helder Costa says, I think it was me against Cardiff last season. And the other two are like, you're nominating your own goal? He's like, yeah, it was a good goal, no problem. They're all like, Roberto Carlos against France, that free kick. He's like, nah, my goal, which you never saw at Leeds. And then that goal against Cardiff is actually a brilliant goal. And he had it was an ankle injury at the end of that season. But then in the season they got promoted, in terms of goals and assists, he was pretty much at the same level as the season before, just not quite as exciting. I think Nuno Santos wasn't there, or Santo. I can never remember which one was our former goalkeeper, which one now manages Spurs.
Santo is the man you're looking for.
Nuno. I guess that's why everybody calls him that, because probably the entire world of football is thinking of Leeds United's third choice goalkeeper in the late 90s. So they have to make that distinction. That he didn't seem to be the same player for him, but it wasn't like he was a bad player by any means. And there's a misconception as well that I keep seeing about Helder Costa at Leeds, where people say, well, you can see why Wolves got rid of him as soon as they got promoted. And they didn't. He played a full season for Wolves in the Premier League. He wasn't completely playing every game, but he played about 16 games.
I think so, yeah.
And was fine. He was actually better for us in the Premier League last season, and was not, pure stats-wise, not a terrible player for us. Watching him play, the eye test, he never really passed it. And yeah, if nobody was ever going to, you know, involve him in anything, put him on the podcast. Don't let Pat do it every week. Helder Costa's got a sense of humour. Stick him in there with Emma and Jermaine and the other the wizard. And let them...
wizard.
Let him
By the way, the extra ball with Matthew Lewis is well worth a listen. You weren't in on it there, Moscow.
No, but I heard he's got some good spellcasting advice, hasn't he?
That's coming from a Nightmare fan, is it?
Maybe Valencia will have they can put him together with Pablo Hernandez and other people that have played for Valencia in the past.
It's helpful being Portuguese and knowing Jorge Mendes by the sounds of it, because we've got quite a decent fee locked into this at the end of it if he chooses to go there, which for some reason you get the sense that Jorge Mendes might just ring up Valencia and go, yeah, like, complete that, lads, and then I'll help you out in future and give me 3 million of it as a fee for doing it. So we might not get the full, whatever, 10 million euro at the end of it, but, you know, if we get something back on him, cover his cost or whatever.
It did sound a little bit like that for this loan, that the coach needed some convincing. But then Helder has said himself afterwards that he did speak to the coach before going. And
he said, we don't want you, yeah, but if you are forced upon us by a super agent, then...
I guess I'll put you in the team now and then. but yeah, I mean, maybe the style of football in La Liga might be better for him than the Championship, the Premier League. Still forget what one we're in. And maybe we'll want him back. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. And Dan James, it better be good. That's all I'm saying.
This window has seen more peripheral players move out than many more coming in. I mean, like, looking at Robbie Gotts and Jordan Stevens, who've both gone to Barrow, which it's probably a lower level than you would have expected. Not necessarily in Stevens' case, but maybe Gotts, because he was getting talked up quite a lot, wasn't he, at one stage? And obviously, floating around on the bench for ages, you think, oh, well, he must be in the thinking. But it's almost quite merciless, isn't it? You know, cutting him out like that and off you go to Barrow.
Barrow is, certainly. Yeah. Have you ever been?
I haven't, but apparently they train some way from actual Barrow and only really go there for games, which I imagine is what, like, a lot of the Middlesbrough players do as well.
I used to play in a dreadful supporters team for Leeds, and for some reason Barrow were in it, and it took forever to get there. It was like to play the lowest standard of football imaginable. It took about 4 hours to get in there in a bloody minibus.
It's right out of the way, isn't it? Even though it's kind of just over Lancashire way.
Yeah. So, I mean, he probably didn't deserve it, did he? But it's a little Leeds collection they've got there, because they've obviously, he's gone there with Gotts and Stevens are there, and they're playing alongside Joe Grayson, who is the son of Simon.
Oh, really?
And they're managed by Mark Cooper, who is the son of Top Cat. So that's nice for them. Maybe they can all just live in one house together or something.
And we're showing plenty of appreciation for him as well, because Robbie Gott's got man of the match with nearly 90% of the votes the other week, which I think it's great that these clubs still keep putting out these social media polls, despite Leeds fans hopping on every single one and absolutely rinsing it, because Gott's got like nearly 8,500 votes.
And I think that's more than people than go to watch Barrow.
There's more than people probably. In Barrow, probably.
Quite possibly. But I'm sure he also did deserve it. So, well done, Robbie. So I'm glad you got off the bench. To be honest, with plays like this, I am kind of relieved when they moved. And I like, I'm part of me likes that they've moved somewhere where they're going to start games as well, because he could possibly have got a move to, I don't know, Forest or something, and then been in the same situation he was in for us, where you're not playing, and then before you know it, you're 24 and you've not played any games. So surely Barrow have got to play him.
It's like that sad occasional search that I'm doing now for Sam Byram. Where is he? What's he doing?
Is he still at Norwich?
Is he playing?
He's injured, isn't he?
No, Forest.
No, he's been at Norwich since 2019, played 17 games, keeps having injuries. And there was Daniel Farker. There was an interview with Byram in The Athletic, and it said he'd been coping with all his injuries by learning piano. And then Daniel Farker said that he'd been seeing him in the treatment rooms.
What did he say?
And he kept joking with him, saying, oh, you know, you need to work a bit harder to get fitter, but then realised the joke was kind of wearing thin as the months.
What did he say?
What did he say? Who knows?
You've just heard there, so maybe have you got the clip of Farker?
Imagine him going in to see Sam Byram. I think we've got the audio of what he was saying to him when he saw him still being treated by the physio.
Oh, Sam, have you got your panels there? I'd love to hear you play a song. Maybe I could dance alongside like a little monkey for you. That would be very pleasant.
Thank you, Farker. Pleased to hear from Daniel Farker there.
Just to
close out what we were doing there before I hijacked it.
Well, yeah, just to close it out, the headline on that Athletic article is Sam Byram, you feel worthless when you're injured. I learned the keyboard to stay busy and hired a wheelchair to stay fit. Oh, God, Sam.
That sounds really, I mean, genuinely, there is tragedy attached to those words, isn't there? For somebody who was so promising. But are we blaming Warnock for breaking him?
Yes.
Right, fine. Bryce Hosanna as well has gone to Wrexham. I don't have a lot to say about this because I don't really know much about Bryce Hosanna, other than you will remember as we were leaving last week, I conceived a song as we were on our way out of the office. So if you remember the song Give Me Hope, Joanna, it was Eddie Grant, wasn't it, who sang that sometime in the mid-80s, one for the kids, etc. And he went, Give Me Hope, Joanna. And I think, Give Me Bryce, Hosanna, Give Me Bryce. No?
I mean, it kind of works. Yeah, some people may know that tune from the Yop adverts as well.
Ah,
which it's been repurposed for, which given the original meaning of the song, a little bit weird. But it would give Bryn Law credit for this one, pushing it through probably, all their American owners.
It'll be either him or the famous actors whose names escape. They're probably mates with that wizard off of the Leeds podcast, aren't they? It's a proper hotbed of ex-Leeds, the northwest coast now, isn't it? And you can just about include Wrexham in that, but we're going from Barrow in the north down to Wrexham at the southern point, with then Ryan Edmondson at Fleetwood and Ollie Casey's at Blackpool. Didn't McCalmont's at Morecambe, the Shrimps. The women's team is nicknamed the Shrimpettes, which I always find hilarious.
It feels like a name from a bygone era, doesn't it? Like it's like a 60s backing group or something like that.
Yeah,
but how's Anna taking the Shrimp? And how's Anna taking the Mickey Thomas route as well, which is nice.
What prison?
Leeds to Wrexham. I think there's someone in between as well, probably, but he did that, didn't he?
Yeah. And
also the
prison.
The fake notes, wasn't it? Was it fake money?
He committed some crimes.
I'm glad we're unpacking this whilst recording live.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just settle for he was found guilty of one or more crimes.
Well,
we don't need to go into much more detail than
because
that.
We've committed it to the recording. You should probably find out what the answer to that question is, and we'll move on to somebody else from our youth academy who's done slightly better. Calvin Phillips, England's men's player of the year, and a lovely performance in Budapest when England tonked Hungary. And I guess we can dovetail neatly into this. Patrick Bamford's international debut.
Before we get into it, Thomas became involved in a counterfeit currency scam whereby he laundered the money through Wrexham's trainees.
Okay. And was he convicted?
He was. A North Wales police arrested him in 1993, and after a trial, he was sentenced to 18 months in jail.
Thank God. So
I'm saying, Bryce, keep your nose clean down there. The police are quite hot on these things.
Excellent. Patrick Bamford and Calvin Phillips, talk to me. What did you make of Paddy's debut for England?
I'll be honest, I came back from a christening drunk, and tried to watch a rerun of this, and I don't really remember any of what I watched. He didn't have many chances. I do vaguely remember that.
No.
He had one that he put over the bar, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was offside. Well, he wasn't offside. The thing that the whole scenario was offside, and it's been annoying me because they even said in commentary, "Well, he'll probably be relieved that that won't count or that wouldn't have counted." But then they've held it. Everybody in all the match ratings has held it against him anyway that he put that chance over. Admittedly, yes, he didn't know that it was going to be flagged offside, and he skied a shot like a full Alioski over the bar. And it wasn't very good. But still,
it's a moot point.
The ball
it?
Was out yeah. of play. So yeah. it doesn't matter. And he maybe would have not had to snatch at that chance. It was quite late in his time on the pitch if he hadn't been running around for an hour while those other bastards refused to pass to him on his birthday. I don't think he'll have had a very good time. He'll have been looking forward to this for so long. And then first, you know, he arrives first to the England camp. He's so keen to get there. And suddenly, Calvin Phillips, the one person he'd think would be his mate, is like talking to his new mates. Don't want anything to do with this. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the footage does defy that. But yes, carry on.
No, I mean, because if you saw the Calvin Phillips being handed his trophy for Player of the Year, it's Declan Rice from West Ham doing it. He keeps calling him Geese. You're like, what do you think of that Geese?
Uh-huh.
And Calvin's like, dunno, duck. But Pat Bamford's not there.
Isn't Declan Rice Irish?
Well, why is he talking like a Cockney? Anyway.
Okay. He was Irish for a bit and then he changed his mind.
Okay.
He could say the same
Pat
about,
Bamford.
Yeah.
Sort of. Although he never really committed to it, did he?
And then there is a photo of Pat with Calvin and his trophy, but it's a little bit like, oh, yeah, I suppose we play for the same team, Pat, don't we? So
massive projection here on your part, Oscar.
Well, all that Calvin ever talks about is, oh, I can't believe Harry Kane talked to me. And then Pat Bamford, he sees him all the time, doesn't he? So it's not as impressive. But
I feel like we've got sidetracked on the analysis of the game. But
and then the birthday thing, because Saka scored and it was his birthday. So all the headlines are like, birthday boy gets Wembley goal, what a hero.
Mm.
And Pat, I don't know if I assume somebody came and just like spat in his cake and then threw it on the floor as well, just to round his
Southgate
day off.
Probably.
Probably. Well, he gave him a hat.
Okay.
Or a cap or whatever it was. Yeah. So he gave him that, but then I don't know if that...
How many international hats have you got? That's what they always say, isn't it?
I don't know if that made up for...
100 hats.
Like a
the most hatted
cap.
Player.
It would have been better if somebody had given him the ball instead of a hat.
Yeah, it is hard to go into a team where it's never played... Well, nothing like that team has ever played together. It was a completely thrown together... Lads, it's Andorra.
It did strike me
as let's just have a go.
As 10 outfield players who were all desperate to make an impression and not really bothered about one another. And he kind of bore the brunt of it because he was the spearhead of that system.
And all Southgate had to do, and Southgate does have some serious responsibility for this, when he made those changes on 60 Minutes, leave Pat on for another 10 with Grealish and Mason Mount and just see what happens. Because all we learned from his time on the pitch is that shower of bastards won't give him the ball. So if you bring on two actually good players who will set him up for chances and they immediately started setting them up for Kane, just give him 10 minutes of that. If you're so desperate to get Harry Kane on for whatever reason, I don't know why we really needed Harry Kane when we're 1-0 up against Andorra.
It is really painful watching England sometimes. Like, and I know it's World Cup qualifiers, you're against 9 men on the edge of the box, but to see them, like they were decent when they were trying to play through the lines. It's the same as how Leeds play. When we start playing through the lines, then we're miles, miles better than just working it side to side endlessly, which is what they seem to do. And then it'd get to somebody who would try a bit of individualism and it'd either break down or the ball would go loose. There was no like coherent plan to pass to somebody in the number 10 spot who would then cut inside and maybe 1-2 rebound. But none of that. It was just side to side. Again, the kind of worst of Southgate that we saw in the build up to the tournament.
I mean, it is Andorra is the thing. The established players are probably not that bothered about playing. And then when you make all the changes, there's just no cohesion to it. So it's trying to... But you should still beat Andorra about 7-0.
Yeah.
Christ. They actually brought... I know we were joking about him last time. They brought on the really old bloke, didn't they? The 41-year-old.
Like,
a 41-year-old has no place in that game.
I might move to Andorra and just have that one final throw of the dice, see if I can get a football career going. It's not too late, is it, when you see that coming on the pitch at Wembley? What a nice time he's had there. I wouldn't mind that.
Something to say you've done on a weekend, isn't it? Rather than, you know... Been to a farm with the kids, for example. Just
or
be like, oh,
stared at Netflix.
Went to Wembley.
Stared at Netflix and awaiting death.
I suppose that's what Patrick needs to take from the weekend as well. He's played his game for England. It's like, that's...
Got his hat?
He's got his hat. So it's all achieved. It's happened. And he's in a difficult position because of Harry Kane, because even had his debut gone brilliantly and it stuck 6 goals past Andorra, I don't know if Gareth Southgate would have been looking at the next game and going, think I'll leave Kane out for this one. I'm going to play that new Bamford fella. But he's trying to edge his way ahead of Calvert-Lewin and Watkins and get himself as like first reserve to Harry Kane. But as we saw when Harry Kane was fucking chronic at the start of the Euros, he doesn't ever get taken off because he's the captain. So it's a difficult place to try and squeeze into that spot. And you kind of wish that one game, because there is a chance, and I think he deserves another chance, but that could be his one hat for England, and you'd wish it would have gone better. And you can only hope that, it's Tuesday today. They play Wednesday night against Poland, don't they? So maybe training session today, maybe one tomorrow. Calvin, if he's feeling a bit bad about how he's not been really talking to Bamford so far, just go and stick one on Kane. Just not to damage his club career or anything really terrible, just to get him out of this match and give Bamford another go, because there's no other strikers there.
Yeah.
And that's his second chance, and it would be with the first team.
I do imagine that if they get in front comfortably against Poland, which may or may not happen because Poland are a decent side, but if they get that game won, you might see him get 20 minutes just to run around and tire out an already tired defence.
I think the problem with playing against someone like Andorra is you're not changing anyone's mind with that performance, regardless what you do. It's only going to confirm people's biases, much as it is ours. We're saying, that wasn't fair. He needs another turn. And if he'd have scored a hat-trick, Jamie O'Hara on TalkSport would have still said, it's Andorra, doesn't prove anything, he's still not good enough. So he does need another opportunity, I think. And 20 minutes against Poland probably isn't it.
What you've failed to factor in there, though, is that Jamie O'Hara is a dick.
Well, yes. And he's also someone who is paid to have audio ludicrous opinions.
Yeah, it's audio clickbait. Yeah. So shut up, Jamie O'Hara, you clueless shill. Go on. Anyway, what were we saying? Yeah, so he may get a run around again. He may not. We'll find out, won't we? Good job that Rafinha didn't go to Brazil, because that was a bit of a hoo-ha, wasn't it? See the Brazil-Argentina fallout. Just incredible levels of shithousing.
It didn't need to go as far as it did, I think, was the point, wasn't it? It was nice, though. I don't think you see enough bureaucrats invading the pitch to halt a game of football. I think I'm all for it.
Yeah, it was tremendous shithousing. And then from what you gather, the levels of enmity between Brazil and Argentina are really high and also really petty, which I'm all for when it comes to football, petty behaviour.
I mean, if Rafinha had been there, probably none of this would have happened. That's why it kind of came to this point, isn't it? That none of the European Brazilian players were allowed to travel, so they decided they would arrest the European...
Well, it was the British, specifically Premier League,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, the Premier League players for Argentina and throw them out the country, which is a proportionate and just response, I think. Whereas if all the Brazilian Premier League lads would have been there, everybody would have been happy, all the exemptions would have been applied, and it all would have been fine. But I know probably Rafinha wants his Brazil hat, doesn't he, at some point, but this is maybe a good one just to have sat out and stay at Thorpe Arch. And then we still don't know if he's going to be allowed to play against Liverpool, do we? That's still all up in the air, whether FIFA are going to enforce a ban.
I think we should start him and then have him dragged off the pitch by a FIFA bureaucrat. That'd be a nice way to go in that game.
Who's the current health secretary? Is it Shapps? Someone like that? Anyway, let's just get Shapps in. Shapps, can you come down to Elland Road at the weekend and start hauling players off that pitch just for a giggle? See what happens. It'll make good TV, and that's what the Premier League is all about, isn't it? Moving on to other stuff, another international football, the under-20s, England under-20s. Thumped Romania at St George's Park, and we've got vested interests, multiple, in this. The future of Leeds United, put Eddie in charge, play all these kids, because Gelhardt got 2 or 3 goals, was it?
It seems to be 2 now. Initial reports seem to suggest 3, but now I've read some more official things. It seems to be 2, which is anti-Leeds, if you ask me. Give the boys hat-trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one point the final score was given as 5-1, then it became 6-1, and then Gelhardt's hat-trick went down to 2. One of them has been given to a City player, and then it since looks like one of his goals was a penalty. They don't really count. So he's basically scored 1. So rubbish. Must do better. Didn't even start.
Had a better time than Ilian Meslier for the France. Was it the 21s he was playing for?
Yes, he's taken a while to get into the France under-21s team because it's Font, isn't it, or Foot, somebody like that who's really supposedly better than Mellier has been hogging the shirt. I'm glad Mellier is doing this stuff for France under-21s and also in friendlies because he had a bit of a moment in one of our pre-season games, didn't he? Keep it out of the Premier League and that's fine.
Yeah, just to explain what happened, he's run out of his box to collect a long through ball. This is France against the Faroe Islands, who are not particularly a force in world football.
Well, if they're under 21s, you know, maybe a source of strength. Maybe that's about to change.
Yeah, he's come out of his box, which, I mean, he's a long way out, but it's perfectly fine to do that because he's got lots of time. But then he tries to just play it to the left back and plays it to them instead. And the ball trickles in at an absolute snail's pace and no one can quite get back there. I feel like if the defender was faster, he could have been saved.
It's definitely the fault of the defender. I don't know what kind of training he has had, whether he just didn't try in the egg and spoon races as a kid, but if he had a bit of pace, he could have bailed Mellier out. And yeah, I think Ilan needs to be having a word with him.
You're a man who loves a bargain, aren't you, Michael?
Some have said, yes, maybe.
Tell them about the thing you tried to make me do.
Well, we bought a little portable hard drive from Amazon, and then a couple of days later it was about £5 cheaper, so I suggested sending it back and rebuying it, which I thought was perfectly reasonable and not at all psychotic.
Jeff Bezos has had to sack half of his domestic staff after this, hasn't he?
Not as good as the discount from Levi's. Hey,
wow,
how's that for a stealth sell?
Well, you get it up front, don't you? You don't have to go back and beg for it.
This is the good thing, right? If you are moving house at the minute, check out the 15% discount on conveyancing fees in place until the 30th of September 2021. That's conveyancing transactions on instructions received between now and the end of September. 10% discount on all other legal services. Full details at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Can you smell that filthy money?
Mine's all wrapped up in chilies, so no. I can smell the chilies is all I can have.
How's your investment in chilies going, by the way, Moscow/Roma tokens?
Roma's gone up.
Oh, great.
I think it's still lower than what I paid in, but yeah, up for no reason. And then, there's some other clubs on there, but obviously I don't care about any of those. I'm Roma all the way. Oh, but if I could get 20% cash back on Independiente merch if I only buy 250 of their coins, so that sounds good.
See how much that is? How much is it?
Ooh, I mean, it's not that easy.
Right. It's a lot anyway.
Hold
what I'm
on.
Guessing.
250.
Live maths.
So
here. Live
that
maths.
Will be, I need 1,000, I need 1,400 chilies. So I need to buy chilies first. Wallet.
How much is that?
All right. So 14.
Meanwhile, we've got eToro as another sponsor, which is one of those names I've seen sort of floating around in football circles, but never understood what the hell it is.
€485. So I'll just buy those now. And then I can get my 20% cash back on Independiente merch, which when I looked at those cashback offers...
It's pretty cheap, actually, that one.
Well, it's to the... I think the cashback is capped at a fiver.
I'm pretty sure when you looked at PSG, though, didn't you need to buy close to 40 grand worth of tokens to get 20% off?
Yes, yeah. And again, the 20% was capped, so I could only get... It was 20% of the first €50 I spent on merch.
Now, listen,
so.
you're poo-pooing anyway. the Socios experience, and as we know now, you can name a pitch at Thorpe Arch after one of the former Thorpe Arch residents, or you can do a quiz. And the quiz question that we've seen, it's done the rounds on social, one of these players couldn't lift the Premier League trophy during his career, which is a very specific question. So I don't know whether they had injured arms that day or was just, I don't feeling tired when the trophy was passed around. So which one of these couldn't lift the Premier League trophy during his career? Was it A, David Batty, B, Nigel Marty, C, Tony DiRigo, or D, Gordon Strachan? Who was it?
I'm going to say he couldn't lift a trophy. It must have been Mick Jones.
Yes.
See, that would have been a better quiz question.
Yeah. Right. Well, is Tony DiRigo the correct answer on this one? Because this is bollocks because...
I mean, the Premier League trophy didn't exist, did it, for Tony DiRigo and Gordon Strachan?
Well, it did, because it doesn't say that. It says, which of these players couldn't lift the Premier League trophy during his career? Well, Tony DiRigo played in the Premier League era, so he could have done, had he won it. He'd have been fine to lift it, assuming there were no arm injuries going on. So that's wrong in itself.
Look, it's It's a piece of fun engagement, Dan. Get on board with it. Aren't you having fun? Are you not entertained?
Did Nigel Marty lift the Premier League trophy during his career?
He may have done. He could have done. It's not that he did, was it? He could have done.
Yeah, but so could Tony DiRigo, because he played in the Premier League era.
And so did Strachan.
Yeah.
If he'd been a real person,
so all,
which I guess he
all
wasn't.
All four of them could have. And David Batty, I think, was the only one that did.
Although even that's kind of slightly confusing, because didn't he turn down his medal because he said he'd not played enough games or something?
But it's saying
because he was being batty about it.
Couldn't lift. I mean, did he injure his own arms?
It's hard to say, isn't it? But it's just a good piece of fan engagement, and I think it's great.
Mm.
Have we redeemed our, as the season ticket holders, have we redeemed our tokens? I haven't yet.
Sorry, I was distracted. I was actually playing that quiz. Question 9 is confusing me as well. Which of them won more trophies with Leeds United? David Batty, Gary Speed, Gordon Strachan or Tony DiRigo? Didn't Batty, Speed and Strachan win exactly the same?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say so. Unless someone didn't play in the Charity Shield, and we're including that somehow?
They all did play in the Charity Shield.
Right.
And then I can't think of any other trophies. So
did we win the Makita tournament?
Oh, I guess the second division.
Well, yeah, Batty, Speed and Strachan all won together. There was only DiRigo would be the one who didn't. So
great.
I'll just say.
Anyway, eToro.
Batty.
Do you know what a Toro is? It's a bull.
Hold on a minute. Sorry to go back to this.
E-bull.
So this is a quiz. You know the concept of a quiz?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You answer questions, don't you?
Yeah, and then you get points if you get them right.
And what happens if you get the most points?
You get more chilies at the end if you win.
Don't even know. But question 10. Which of them was your favourite player while playing for Leeds United? And then it's a choice of...
Do you get a point for that if you pick the right
one?
Well,
exactly. And then how would they know?
Okay.
And I do wonder as well, I mean, it's going back a long way, how many people, David Batty, Speed, Strachan, Radebe, Martin, DiRigo were the choices.
They only know a limited number of Leeds players, don't they?
Yeah, the whole quiz, it's 10 questions basically about them, and I assume it's the time with the
pitch.
Training pitch.
I'll just
say David Batty, and then if it tells me I'm wrong, right, I scored 5 out of 9.
Well
done. I can't go back and review the answers. Absolute fart. Well, this is the most fun.
You'd have enjoyed it more if it was Roma, though, wouldn't you? Because obviously you're more of a super fan.
That emotional connection.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the years of supporting them and the great memories of watching the great sides. Totti was probably in them.
The good news on the Celsius thing, though, is that there hasn't been enough take-up of the tokens for it to actually be working. So there's lots of moaning about the people who are trying to game this stuff for profit, saying Leeds fans are basically letting it down. And long may that continue.
Buy our smoke. Why is no one having it? It's not fair. I've put £1,000 into this. It does. When you looked at the replies to the launch and everything, they were either Leeds fans saying piss off, or they were people who buy chilies and shill it endlessly on Twitter saying, brilliant, I've just bought £500 worth of these. I can't wait to earn loads of money off it. So the crossover between actual Leeds fans buying it and traders seems very, very slim. Unless there are a few people on that Venn diagram who fall, I guess, in the middle of it. But yeah, mainly it seems to be two responses to it.
I think it was best described. I think it was the Athletic who described it as a solution looking for a problem, basically. Which,
how else would Moscow have ever known who his favourite Leeds player was? And now he's been told he's probably wrong.
Well,
he doesn't know for sure.
I don't
though.
Actually know. I can't see the answer to that question. So,
are you piling into eToro anyway? Are you going for that? Are you going to? I didn't even know what it was. As I was saying before, like it's a name that I've seen like on illuminated on the advertising board, and you go, oh yeah, I recognise that, but I've no idea what it does. Well, eToro is a leading trading and investment platform with over 20 million registered users worldwide. Their vision is to open the global markets for everyone to trade and invest in a simple and transparent way. What I enjoyed was the text at the bottom, which felt like it had to be placed there as a note of caution, whether by the financial authorities or through choice. But it's quite an eye-opener when the closing paragraph on the page is CFDs, and that's what they do. They do...
Amongst other things.
What does CFDs stand for?
Financial stuff. Probably the first thing before anybody gets involved is find out what a CFD is. Because if you don't know, don't use it.
Yeah, but while you're looking to find out what they are, they're complex instruments. A bit like a tuba. It looks quite complex, doesn't it?
It's a contract for differences. There you go.
There you go. And they come with a high risk.
Couldn't be clearer.
Come with a high risk of losing money rapidly due to leverage. 67% of retail investor accounts lose money when trading them with this provider. So they're saying two-thirds of the people who get involved in CFDs will lose money. You should consider whether you understand how they work and whether you can afford to take the high risk of losing your money.
In fairness, bookmakers should say the same thing. Mm. They should say, you probably are going to lose this, you know, just to make you aware.
I mean, sponsors are sponsors and the club needs sponsors. It would be nice if the club could announce a sponsor that didn't have a disclaimer at the end saying, please don't use this. Because it's basically that's where they've gone to with socios, and it's a little bit to the club's credit that they changed some of the language around how that was being advertised, saying, look, do not use this as a trading platform. It should be fun. It should be, you know, just get your free token, vote on stuff. Don't stick your mortgage in it.
Almost like that was superfluous to the engagement side of it, isn't it? Almost,
well, yeah. But then again, here it's like, very proud to announce our new sponsor. By the way, like, be really careful because you could lose loads of money. And it would just be, you know, it would be nice. Maybe it's idealist. And I don't know who the sponsor would be, because you're right. Gambling products all need to come with this warning as well. Like, you could lose a lot of money with this. Beer is all, you know, you could drink yourself into oblivion if you have too much.
Angus Kinnear made this point when we
spoke to
him. Burgers. Yeah, he said everything that they engage with, you need to use in moderation.
What I'm saying, bring back tobacco advertising. Why not?
Mm-hmm. But there must be
get on the tabs, kids. It's cool.
There must be something. Maybe socks. Like, nobody's... Like, has anybody...
Do you remember the sock shop?
Yeah.
It was a very niche market, wasn't it? I always used to see that in Manchester Airport. It was a shop with just socks in it. But I think they also did stuff like ties as well, which confused me.
I initially, straight away in my head, I went to Tyrak, which was a similar kind of single product operator. I don't know if they exist anymore. Probably not, given I don't think anyone wears ties anymore.
But like, in our ascent to the league championship, and I know we're going back a long way, but it was built on Burton.
Topman.
Local clothing company. Topman. Local clothing company. Nobody ever died from having too many trousers. So that was fine. And then it was the local newspaper, Yorkshire Evening Post, and then a sports company, a hotel, computers. And then we were into cider, and it's been cider and whiskey and downhill ever since. But it is possible to be sponsored by reasonable people that do not have to come with a warning. And then that's not just a Leeds United thing. It's a football-wide issue, and you do need to wonder why so many companies target football fans with things that are essentially could be harmful to football fans. What makes football fans the perfect audience for global trading and investment platforms that two-thirds of people lose their money on?
I mean, in fairness to eToro, it isn't. They're not selling something, a product they are creating in the same way as Chili's are. It's a legitimate way to buy and sell certain things, but it's just complicated. So make sure you know what you're doing on it. And I think the way they present from little bits I've looked at, they make it look quite visual and gamify it a little bit in the same way as Chili's do, where it makes it look like accessible and you can see charts and you can follow other investors on it who are doing well. And it's, I don't know, the whole thing feels like something I don't particularly want to do. Well, but, you know, it involves, for people who like that sort of thing,
Michael,
fine.
It involves risking money, so you're not going to do it, are you?
Just dig a hole in the garden and stick it all in there. That's what I say.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Liverpool at the weekend. We're back in action after the international break. That's fun, isn't it? Playing Liverpool at Elland Road in the Premier League, and it'll be a full house and it'll be great, and we get to see Dan James tearing them a new arsehole, and we get all 3 points like in 1991 when Steve Hodge scored.
Like last season when we won at Anfield on the opening day, obviously. We get to see Van Dijk being torn apart by Bamford, England's Pat Bamford again as well, which will be nice.
He'll have all that confidence from his England hat, won't he? So he'll be carrying that through into the weekend's match.
Old porcelain knees Van Dijk. Finished, isn't he? Finished. I look forward to his goal and his domineering defensive performance at the weekend. But they're good. It feels like they've, I don't know, from winning the league, they've kind of crested that a little bit, and they're just plateauing a wee bit because they've not really invested in players, have they? And there was a really good, I think it was Swiss Ramble did a really good breakdown of why they've not really spent anything on footballers.
Is it because they're not backed by billions of pounds of fossil fuel money?
In essence, yeah, they have to, not sell to buy is probably an exaggeration, but they generally have to fund themselves rather than relying on sovereign wealth, yes, is the answer.
Not to stick up for Liverpool, such a special club and all that stuff, but it is kind of unfortunate that in this era you win the league and then your rivals just go and spend £100 million on a midfielder and try to spend £150 million on a striker. And you're a bit like, well, that's not very fair, is it? That's not really on. So I do feel a bit sorry for them.
You don't though, do you?
But no, not really. Not really. I didn't mind them winning the league, actually, weirdly enough. Although, once they did, I sort of regretted not minding it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They were a bit unbearable. Part of me thought, well, it's in a way, it's kind of a nicer story than it just being Chelsea or Man City winning it, or scum, obviously, because that'd be the worst of all. But at least they had done it in a vaguely sporting way and invested in some players that had maybe performed slightly beyond themselves. And it didn't feel like they'd completely bought it, which felt like the first time that had happened in a while.
And I know Klopp is kind of, that's plateaued a little bit after it's gone up to its peak, but he was sort of eminently likeable in the run-up to them winning that. And you can't hate his football philosophy because it's sort of based on high-energy football and, you know, the gegenpress and all that fancy nonsense. So, like, you know, fair enough, you did all right. But then you just remember, oh, Christ, the fans are unbearable.
Well, this is it. They're in a right old flap at the moment because of this lack of transfer spending. And it's not even really about now. They're all already worrying because Klopp is going to leave in 2024. He wants to take a break. So they're worried about the rebuild. And some of their really good players who are all being given big new contracts now are going to be over 30 at that point. So they're all convinced that this is going to crumble into nothing immediately, when actually some of it looks fine. Like, I think you put Van Dijk and another defender back in the team, they're quite good, Liverpool, but Liverpool fans seem to, up front seems to be the part that was kind of amusing me the most, because they've got Salah, Mane, Firmino, San, who's the other one? Sane?
Mm-hmm. No, he plays for Bayern Munich, doesn't he?
Of course he does.
Sane.
So it's,
and not very well at
Mane.
You've done
He's
Mane.
He's the one.
No, you've done Mane. You covered him off. Are you thinking of Jota?
There's Jota, yeah. I always get Sane and Mane confused because three of the letters are the same.
Yeah.
And then they've even got Origi, who they were trying to get rid of, and Minamoto, and they're convinced they haven't got enough in attack. And I look at our team and we've got Pat Bamford, Rodrigo, Tyler Roberts, and that's fine as far as I'm concerned. I think we're all right with those. And then we got Joffe and Greenwood in the under-23s. And you can even go to, because the equivalent of, we've got Max Dean there, who's 17 and scored some goals in the under-23s last season. But that became relevant because in this discussion, they got down to saying there's some kid in their youth team who, I mean, I'm already struggling with the first team players. I assume he's called Billy. He plays for little Billy. So Billy is really good. Billy could be the future, but he's not 17 yet. I'm like, how the fuck? If you've got Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, see, I even know some of their first names, Diogo Jota, and then
Sane, Mane, the twins,
Dalglish,
Minamoto,
Rush,
or Minamino, whichever one he was.
Then how are you down to, in fact, this whole thing is terrible, isn't it?
Are we going to win?
Moscow's lost his way completely.
Yeah. I apologise to all the people whose names I've got wrong.
Just reset him.
The people in Liverpool.
Just control-alt-delete him.
I'm sure that Paul Walsh is going to score lots of goals this weekend, and Nicky Tanner will sort the defence out. You know who's a good midfielder? Mike Marsh.
Mm. Yes. Just while we talk about Liverpool, we should give a mention to the Leeds United women, by the way, who are top of the league. Two wins in the past week. Most recent one was against the Liverpool Feds, which I love the name of.
The Bizzies?
Yeah.
Don't know if that's the same thing that's
their
over there.
I believe that's their nickname.
But yes, they are top of the league. Yeah. So, it's nice to see one successful Leeds team rather than the men's team, which is going to lose this game, in my opinion.
No, we're not. Oh yeah, by the way, do listen to The Extra Ball if you're a subscriber as well, with Olivia Smart, who's the player that we are sponsoring in the Leeds United women. And a really good chat, wasn't it? It was good fun chatting to her and just learning about that whole world and finding out that there's a real sense of togetherness, I think, with the women's team.
Yeah, and they've had to do normal jobs alongside a pandemic.
Fucking
and
transplants. Mental. Yeah. Absolutely mental.
She works in transplants, by the way. She's not had them.
Yes.
Just to be like, clear the way you've... That's without context.
Genuinely frontline life and death work, both with COVID, working in the ICU during COVID, and also doing transplants, then kicking around a pig's bladder at a weekend for some light relief. It makes this whole enterprise look as ridiculous as it probably is. But anyway, back to Elland Road and Liverpool. And why are you so negative, Michael? Why do you hate Leeds?
I just think they've probably got better players than us, haven't they?
Yeah, but we're more than the sum of our parts. And we've got Daniel James to unleash on them, who, there's a fairy tale in this, when he sets up the winning goal.
For them?
For us.
Oh, okay.
Or he comes on and scores it.
Yeah, it's hard to say what Leeds are going to be like after this, even what Liverpool are going to be like, because they do have problems with players coming back from international duty. Keita is caught in a coup. And so they're trying to get him home, and then Brazilian players.
A chicken house.
Not that kind of coup.
That's quite a good joke, I thought.
And they don't know which of their Brazilian players will be allowed to play. So Alisson might not be allowed. And I don't know who their reserve goalkeeper is at the moment, but their reserve goalkeepers tend to be funny.
Yeah.
Like that guy in the who threw the European Cup final for them. Maybe he can
Karius,
play again.
Was it? Was his name?
Yeah. Or it can be Bogdan, who they got from Bolton with the big ginger bowl cut. So,
or Andy Lonergan, maybe. Maybe
he's at Everton.
Only for now, he's probably moved again.
So there's plenty of comedy could be happening in goal. And then with our lot, it's weird because Leeds players had a short break, didn't they? And also Luke Ayling was at the Josh Warrington fight, flicking the V's at Lara when he was, did actually have quite a bad cut in the end. And it's strange because on the one hand, it's perfectly acceptable for our players to be off on a little short city break during an international break, and for Ayling to go to the boxing and have a beer. That's all fine. But then on the other hand, you remember this is Bielsa's Leeds, and you think, how dare you leave your houses? Why aren't you doing quadruple training sessions? What is going on? Is everything going to pot? Are they just full of chocolate cake now? Are they going to be trying to weigh them back in? And when Bielsa says, if you're over this weight, you cannot train, and nobody trained Thorpe Arch, all the pitches just empty because they're all just, because they've all let themselves go in the space of one
waddling,
week.
Waddling around Weatherby.
So it's that's been a little bit of a strange time. But with these timings of these international breaks, and there's another one at the end of the month, it's kind of like a false start situation where we had those three games plus the one against Crewe. I don't really know what Leeds are yet this season.
It's funny, you know, you say that. I looked at the podcast we've done. I was just looking through my folder. And I was like, have we only done three games so far this season? And it is, isn't it? It's only three.
It's mad. We've hardly got going, and then it's ground to a halt. And that could be good for us, because I don't think you could really argue that before the break we were looking brilliant. So maybe that time to go and drink beer, eat pies, and just like mainline butter for a couple of weeks will be good for them.
Melier coming back full of confidence.
Yeah, Bamford's achieved his life's ambition and watched it broken to smithereens in front of his eyes. I don't know.
Time for Calvin to pick up an injury, because England play again tonight, so that'll be good.
Don't play tonight, they play tomorrow.
Lost track. Can see how interested I am now. It's not a main tournament, can't you? We're going to qualify, aren't we? What difference does it make? Just skip to the good bit.
Yeah, fair enough. So you're predicting Liverpool win. I think this is just set up, as Moscow says. You don't quite know which way it's going to go. I feel we've got a 1-0 victory in us here, and because there's just enough conspiring around this for Klopp to have a little moan.
Can we leave t-shirts again? He was annoyed about that last time, wasn't he?
Welcome back, maybe this time.
Yeah, just like asked some questions, asking how the Super League's going or something.
Will you wear these ones, lads? Question mark in the dressing room.
Yeah, he got a bit stroppy about it. And I enjoyed the protest last time. It was good fun. It was my first proper trip to Elland Road in ages, was that? So it was nice to go down and shout at a bus.
I was thinking Klopp breakdown as well. I can just picture his face at the end of this game of like, it won't be a big one, but he'll just leave kind of pissed off because we've won and it'll all be unfair because of players not being allowed to play and all this kind of stuff. So
he'll flag up that we've spent like £25-30 million on the winger who's just won us the game as well.
You're convinced it's Dan James is going to win this game. I don't think he's even going to play.
I think he'll come off the bench and that will lift the crowd and it will drive us onto the winning goal. It'll be a single goal and it'll come around 70, 75 minutes, something like that.
It can be this year's Jean-Kevin Augustin, can't he, coming off the bench, lifting the crowd just as everyone was excited about his arrival. Now, he looks in better shape than Big Kev, it's fair to say, who also never played for us and we know nothing about if anyone rings.
So what are you going for? I'm going for Leeds win. You're going for Leeds defeat. Are you going for the technical draw? Like Josh Warrington?
We're going to headbutt somebody. No, Leeds win.
The podcast is brought to you with The Athletic. This week, Phil is going to be writing about memorable debuts. Who's he going to write about? Who do you reckon?
Berardi trying to tackle a man's neck off?
I mean, he killed a man on his debut. You're going to have to go some way to get better than that. Look out for that this week on The Athletic. We'll be talking memorable debuts on The Phil Hayes Show as well later on in the week. If you want to sign up, you can get a 50% discount on signing up for The Athletic right now at theathletic.com/thesquareball. That's theathletic.com/thesquareball. Heroes and villains then, in this part of the show. The Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award first. Give us some nominations then. Who are you putting forward?
Gareth Southgate, despite the nice hat, put him on with some good players. Don't make him...
Pandering to the crowd, wasn't he, the players that he brought on? He said all those people who bought tickets came to see some of the star turns like Grealish and Kane and so on.
The thing is, he didn't even like Grealish in summer until someone spent £1 million on him. Now he's like, oh yeah, he's
a million quid, 100 million quid.
If he was £1 million, yeah, we should have probably had him for that. But yeah, £100 million on him. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he's dead good, isn't he? I've just realised. Now Pep says as well, I didn't really trust Dean Smith's opinion, but I kind of go along with Guardiola. So yeah, Southgate, unless he plays him against Poland.
Which he won't. Unless England are, like, let's say, by some quirk of fate, 3-0 up with 20 minutes to go, then he'll get a run out just to keep running around and tiring people, as I said before. But other than that, yeah.
It'll depend how many goals Kane has got. If it's one more to give him a hat-trick, then Bamford doesn't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Although on the plus side, is
come home, Pat.
Kane must be getting somewhat near to breaking Rooney's record now, which I think I'd prefer. Mm. I don't really like Rooney being England's top scorer ever. It feels a bit filthy.
I wonder which lower division team Harry Kane's going to end up doing a really bad job of managing.
Leighton Orient. Something to look forward Leighton to. Orient.
Oh yeah, of course, he's sponsoring them this season, isn't he?
So he'll end up as manager sponsor. He'll probably buy them out. He won't be able to sack himself.
See, that goes on to the other nomination here, which is Socios. Why can't Harry Kane sponsor us? I'd take that. That's, you know, nobody's really been hurt. Well, I suppose he's hurt Pat Bamford, hasn't he? But yeah, so Socios are in here and just, I suppose it's generally kind of malevolent sponsors. Can't we just have nice ones? Hesco Bastion.
Protecting the troops.
Exactly. What could be nicer than helping people, keeping them safe, protecting them? They were good sponsors. And
although they did protect the away fans as well by that sort of war zone thing.
Well, that's good.
The West End car park.
Keeping everything
orderly.
Keeping everything orderly and safe. An old
the military industrial complex. What a feel good sponsor. Great.
Well then Clipper then. The
Halliburton. Clipper. I want to nominate Halliburton.
Logistics. We used to have their flying donkey on the side of the East End, and that looked good. I suppose
flying donkey. Steve Morrison makes a return.
I suppose it was High Sense are all right, really, aren't they? Because fridges, tellies, those are things that people like. But I don't like that there is a picture of an oven on the side of the East Stand. I think it's gone as the oven.
I think it's got a telly on it now.
So just picture...
Is it a working telly that you can watch from the M621?
I'm sure that'd be perfectly safe.
Pictures of just electrical goods on the side of our football stadium as if it was the classified adverts in the back of a newspaper just doesn't look good to me. So even they're not perfect. I think what we're establishing here is that I have quite a high bar for acceptable sponsors.
So we don't want any of you.
And I think not get anywhere near clearing it.
And I think all of the sponsors we're looking to replicate have since gone bust as well. I'm not sure Packard Bell or...
Evening Post is hanging in there.
Evening Post is hanging in there, in fairness. But Top Man's kind of been bought out, hasn't it, now? That's part of a bigger thing. So they're not nice anymore. Thistle Hotels, they went bust, but I think still exist a bit. But probably not got like £1 billion.
There's got to be local Arla. There you go, Milk. That's all right. They're a local business. Mm-hmm. They're not. I suppose, were they behind Lurpak when they were? But even so, Lurpak.
I mean,
that was fine.
The military milk complex is it's difficult to
military milk. It could be difficult to peaceful milk. Civilian milk is there. We. I mean, maybe we need to start a company and we'll take over the sponsorship ourselves. And I propose we do start Civilian Milk Limited.
Alternatives to Big Milk. Excellent. I feel like we've
what was that even?
Taking a bit of a left turn.
Where did that start?
Started on Socios.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so they're nominated as the villain.
Have eToro done anything wrong? Yeah,
not really. That's not very nice. They give us. They don't. What kind of milk do they make?
Burberry have got
cow milk.
Burberry have got ties to Leeds, haven't they? And that'd be quite cool. And you know, they're trying to make like PSG a lifestyle brand almost with the Nike, the Air Jordan logo is becoming their like de facto kit manufacturer rather than straight up Nike. And I don't know, they're obviously signing lots of fashionable players, and it's Paris and that. So Leeds is very, very similar.
Do you not remember Ramon Nunes appearing in double Burberry?
Yeah,
but he was in. I think he was. It was Tiger or Prism or somewhere in Leeds, and he had a Burberry shirt with a Burberry scarf.
I think Ramon Nunes is very kind of Prism. It sounds right. It's not like kind of Ronnie Scott's or some sort of high level
student night at Prism. Yeah. We weren't paying the players that much in that era, in fairness. So you've got to make the most of your 800 quid a week or whatever Bengen Bates was playing.
I might have said before in the podcast, like mid to late 90s, it was very, very jarring when Newcastle were kind of in their pomp, you know, under Keegan and stuff, seeing all those footballers out on student nights. I used to go in dingy nightclubs back in that day. But anyway, that is a different story, right? Who else are we nominating for this?
Well, I mean, we've already slagged off the France under 21 defender for not being fast enough. Also their strikers, because they had 18 shots apparently before that goal went in. And if they could have scored one of them, wouldn't have been a problem. Or two of them, three of them. It's the Faroe Islands, lad, for God's sake. Just beat them. Mm. So they've made Melier look bad there, which I don't agree with.
You know, the Faroe Islands are like banging to the whaling and all that sort of stuff, aren't they? Whereas the French tend to force-feed geese for foie gras, which do we like least?
You're trying to give some sort of animal cruelty derby?
Yeah.
What about the Spanish and the bulls, if we're on eToro?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, Christ. This is a moral conundrum. How do we get out of it?
Nominate someone else. I'm not sure who.
We've run out, I think, haven't we, there?
Just give it to Southgate, because he's ruined Pat's big dream. He's the obvious choice. He's the worst person in the world this
Seems
week.
Dead nice, doesn't he?
Really nice.
He doesn't seem nice. All the goals he scored against Leeds, celebrated and enjoyed. And then what he's done to Pat this week is unforgivable. So plenty of villainy there.
Okay, fair point. I mean, and Faroe Islands, just leave the whales alone. That's all we're saying. The Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award, with a nod to Andrew Hughes. Again, we haven't quite finalised what we're going to do with Mr. Hughes. We will get there eventually when it reoccurs to us ahead of planning a podcast that we need to do something for Andy. But in the meantime, nominations.
Calvin, for being the best English footballer.
And tolerating Southgate.
That's true. Despite the... dreadful coaching and advice he's receiving on international duty, he's still been England's best player. So, well deserved. I know there's the thing about which he himself immediately acknowledged about Leeds fans voting and stuff, but also he deserved it.
And it still counts.
Yeah, I think so. I probably wouldn't have voted for him if I wasn't a Leeds fan, just because, you know, who are you going to vote for? Luke Shaw? No way. No. But I see no reason why he doesn't deserve it. And he's come such a long way, I think, with England that now... I feel like there's virtually no one saying he shouldn't be in the team, which is, in a year, is quite a turnaround, because it felt like Owen Hargreaves had about 10 years of playing for England before people went, oh, actually, maybe he kind of is all right. So, well done, Calvin.
He's a national treasure, is the boy.
Calvin should be as proud of that award as Robbie Gotz is going to be of his 40 Man of the Match trophies this season.
And you mentioned Leeds fans there. We get involved in every online poll. It's small victories, but they all count. So I think we should give ourselves, not us, but you know, our collective us, a nomination for righting the wrongs of the universe and addressing the needs of the people in Barrow-in-Furness.
Yeah, I think the pawn shops of the Northwest are going to be absolutely just full of old trophies with man of the match, Blackpool versus whoever on the side when Ollie Case is like, I've got 20 of these already. I'll just stick it in a charity shop.
Is Barrow and Furness, that's nuclear submarines, isn't it?
Yes.
Do they still do those or don't we know?
Yes, is the short answer. Not okay. As many as they, as possibly the local workforce need.
Maybe that's why we're sending footballers out there.
Ships and stuff as well. Yeah.
Should we have a good old war to give that economy a boost?
With Barrow and Furness?
No, with someone else, just anyone.
Fair enough. And Patrick Bamford has to have a nomination as well, because I know he won it last week and he was riding the crest of a wave. A little bit of a return to earth with, being let down by Southgate. It wasn't a bad performance against Andorra. He just wasn't really in it.
And he put a brave face on it as well. He's done all the regulation tweets of saying, you know, so proud to make my debut. And he's deleted the bits where he said, fuming with that plain-faced oaf. I mean, ruining it for me.
He genuinely looked like he was having a really good time when he was there. And I really like that about him. He's a very human, if that makes sense. Like when he was sat on the bench and Matterface was blathering on about, oh, and a wry smile there from Patrick Bamford because, you know, Kane had scored. Wasn't a wry smile. He was genuinely happy. You could see it on his face. He just looked happy that Kane had come on and scored and he was part of something.
And also Bamford wasn't taking that penalty if Kane wasn't on the pitch. It was Henderson played, didn't he?
Probably him.
He would have taken that penalty. There were plenty of other arseholes in that team who would have got to the ball before Bamford. And we know that Bamford would just have said, oh, okay, Jordan, if you want to take it, that's good luck. So there was no way he would have been taking that in Kane's absence.
I know we are tempting fate if we do remark on the performance of Henderson, given that we're playing Liverpool at the weekend. But do we want to touch on Henderson's performance for England? I mean, I know you were drunk, Michael, so you didn't see it, but there was a lot of guilty passing in the way that the accusations first went into Calvin about passing sideways and backwards, and very little forward action from Henderson.
You can see why Calvin's taken his place.
Yeah.
Because he's better.
That is a fair point. And again, we've now tempted fate hugely for the weekend. But
no, I mean, what are you expecting? Jordan Henderson's going to score? No, he isn't.
Okay, have we got any more nominations or is that it? In quite a quiet week because it's International Week.
We did mention it, but Luke Ayling for his fine work at the Josh Warrington fight as well. A man who goes down under the merest of contact, being annoyed that a man with half his face hanging open was daring to not continue to be punched in it. It was just like, I'm not quite sure what he was annoyed at, but I appreciated it all the same. Nice to see him there.
Is that it then? Those nominations? Oz, Calvin, Pat, Luke?
Give it Pat.
You think?
Yeah.
Pat in his hat?
He's had nothing else over the last 7 days, has he? So to make up for the total letdown of playing for England, could have warned him. He should have just gone to Ireland, all that. He was even saying, wasn't he, in the build-up to him, that one of the reasons why he never even answered the phone to Mick McCarthy and enraged Robbie Keane was because he didn't want to take the opportunity of playing for Ireland away from an actual, genuine Irish striker. So that selfless act should have had a better reward than the way his first game for England went. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that will be the first of many, many hats and lots of goals that he will score for England, because Harry Kane is getting older, and every time there's a tournament, there does always seem to be that question of his fitness going into the tournament. Is his toe going to drop off? Are his ankles gone? So there are, I was saying earlier, and it is true that it's very difficult to take that place away from Harold, but it's not impossible. So keep going, Pat. We believe in you.
And this is probably a better birthday present for him, a fictional made-up award on a podcast than a hat.
Given by those three dickheads who used to slag him off all the time in the championship.
Just looking at Harry Kane's birthday, 28th of July, 1993. So he fairly recently turned 28. So he's getting on a bit. He's only about 2 months older than Pat, if not a month.
Ah, he's played a lot of football though, hasn't he? Yeah. Pat spent all those wilderness years just keeping his legs all healthy in Burnley and Crystal Palace and all that. So he's got years left in him as Pat.
Good. Well, congratulations then, Pat Bamford, our hero of the week. Is that it for this week then? We'll reconvene next week. We've got Scouse propaganda that'll come for you after the weekend, because they are such a special club. Look forward to that. And we'll return with another full show, the weekly show, this one, in a week's time. And we'll catch you then. See you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.